Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
And so, as we read, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and instructs Joseph to take Mary and the little boy Jesus to go to Egypt to avoid Herod. And they leave in haste because they leave by night.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Christmas has ended and the new year is almost here. But before we move on, do you ever wonder what happened to the wise men and Mary and Joseph after Jesus was born? Today, we're exploring this important yet often overlooked aspect of the Christmas story, which is a fascinating story of God's provision. Let's join Pastor John Monroe for the first part of his message, The Flight.
Already Christmas may seem far behind us, and we're now anticipating the new year. But before leaving Christmas story, I thought we would think about a part of the Christmas story which is often neglected. What happened to the wise men? And what happened to Mary and Joseph when the evil Herod ordered the murder of all of the babies in the district around Bethlehem? We'll see the care of a loving God who's watching over his beloved son and also Mary and Joseph. Despite the opposition of evil, God is totally in control. Isn't that encouraging? Join me as we look at this fascinating section of Scripture. It will be a reminder that as we go forward, God preserves us and guides us.
This morning we're considering a section of Scripture which is really part of the Christmas story, but often a neglected part. Our Scripture is found in Matthew chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 13 through 23. Now, in Matthew 2, verses 13 through 23, there are three clear sections, and we're going to take them section by section. Each section, very interestingly, ends with a quotation or a reference to the Old Testament Scriptures. Matthew knew his Bible, he knew the Old Testament, and as he presents the Lord Jesus as the King, as the Messiah, he quotes frequently from the Old Testament. We've already seen two of his quotations, chapter 1, verse 23, where he quotes that the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and also he quotes in chapter 2, verse 6, Micah 5, verse 2, where there was a prophecy that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. Now look with me, first of all, towards the end of verse 15, Matthew 2, the end of verse 15, Matthew says, "This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" And again in verse 17, "Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah." And then at the end of the chapter, verse 23, "He went and lived in a city called Nazareth so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene." Matthew is very interested in the Old Testament Scriptures, knows them, and is making it very clear that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, is coming in fulfillment of the Old Testament Scriptures. Augustine said that in the Old Testament, the New Testament is concealed, whereas in the New Testament, the Old Testament is revealed. And Matthew is wonderfully revealing the Old Testament to us with these wonderful quotes that we're going to look at this morning. Are you ready to learn about Jesus? Do you say you love him? You come to worship him? You ready to obey him? Are you ready to follow him? I think this passage will help us. First of all, in verses 13 through 15, we see that God preserves. God preserves, a wonderful truth that we need to be reminded of, and as we're going to see, particularly applied to the Messiah. So here we are, Matthew 2, verse 13. "Now when they," the wise men, "had departed, Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. Now, in the earlier part of Matthew 2, as we thought of in Christmas Eve, the wise men come from the east and they come to worship the king of the Jews, the one we know as King Jesus. The chief priests and the scribes, they knew their Bible as well. And they knew, according to the prophecy of Micah, that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. And so this is communicated to the wise men. But as I remarked on Christmas Eve, I find it amazing that although they knew the scriptures, they had no real interest in checking out whether that Old Testament scripture could in fact be being fulfilled in their lifetime. So they don't check it out for themselves. Herod pretends great interest. He wants to know where the baby Jesus is born. And he tells the wise men, when you find out where he is, let me know so that I can come and worship him. But that, of course, was a deception. Herod had no intention of worshiping anyone, far less someone who professed to be the king of the Jews. He wanted, as we're going to see, he wanted to eliminate Jesus. He wanted to kill him and to destroy him. And so, in the providence of God, the wise men are warned in a dream not to return to Herod. So, verse 12, and being warned in a dream, as the wise men, not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. They may have come from Persia, about 1,000 miles away, and so they return there, and they don't tell Herod that they, in fact, had located the one who is born king of the Jews. Now, at this time, Jesus would not have been in the manger. He'd have been in a house in the small town of Bethlehem. Think of this, that God, of course, was well ahead of Herod. God was well aware of the murderous intent of Herod. And so, as we read, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and instructs Joseph to take Mary and the little boy Jesus to go to Egypt to avoid Herod. Matthew has already told us a little bit about Joseph, chapter 1, verse 19, that he was a just man. And it's also very clear from Matthew chapter 1 and 2 that Joseph is also a humble man. Whenever he receives directions from the angel of the Lord, he immediately obeys. And in this case, he takes Mary and Jesus and depart immediately, verse 14, to Egypt. And they leave in haste because they leave by night. Now, this is the third dream in the story so far. First dream, the angel had previously appeared to Joseph in chapter 1 and told him that this little boy is to be called Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. The wise men were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, but here is another dream, a second angelic appearance to Joseph in a dream. He receives the divine revelation. Get going. Take Mary and Jesus and leave quickly and go to Egypt. And Joseph's obedience is a great example for us because he obeys immediately. Do you ever want to discuss things with the Lord, argue with the Lord, delay? It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, when we practice instant obedience. That's hard for us. I've said before, my dad used to say to me more times than I wanted to hear it as a little boy, John, when are you going to learn to do what you're told? My dad, like all dads, liked instant obedience. And for some reason, I didn't like to obey. And I didn't like to obey instantly. There's something rebellious in the human heart, isn't there? But as a follower of Jesus, as those who worship the King, as those who recognize that he is the King of Kings, that he is the Lord of the universe, the Lord expects us not only to obey, but to obey instantly. That's a wonderful quality, isn't it? It shows humility, it shows sensitivity, and it shows a great love that we have for the Savior. Instant obedience, and Joseph does that. Now, notice verse 15, we have the Old Testament fulfillment. So they go to Egypt, to the south of Israel, as you know, and remained there until the death of Herod. And then Matthew records this. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. He's quoting from Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Now, in the context of Hosea 11, verse 1, who is my son? Well, if you know the Old Testament, you know it is a reference to Israel. In our series on the life of Moses, we read, as we studied Exodus 4, verses 12 and 23, that the Lord calls Israel my firstborn son. And so the message through Moses to Pharaoh is, let my son go. And eventually, God's son Israel comes out of Egypt and is delivered through the Red Sea, as we're learning. And here, Hosea is saying, chapter 11, verse 1, out of Egypt, I called my son. Israel was delivered from Egypt and eventually went to the promised land. And now it says, Matthew, in a very interesting reference and application, you can call it typology or whatever, but he is saying that, of course, the son is not Israel, the son is Jesus Christ. He is the son of God. And Mary and Joseph, with little baby Jesus, go to Egypt, just south of Israel. And at that time, we're told there were about 1 million Jews living in Egypt. And so there, they were quite safe. The jurisdiction of Herod didn't go into Egypt. They were safe there, safe from the murderous Herod. And so the scripture is fulfilled because they're not going to stay in Egypt, as we're going to learn in the next section. Out of Egypt, I called my son. And so Egypt, in God's prophetic program, has a special place because Egypt gave safety to the Messiah. God preserving the Messiah. Now let's read verses 16 through 18. Not only does God preserve, but God guides. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed, listen to this, all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region, which were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Think of that. God preserves Joseph, preserves Jesus rather, by guiding Joseph to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt. You see, we often forget this, that God is a living God and God is active in the lives of his people. And God knew all about the evil Herod. He knew what Herod was going to do. And so the Lord goes before his people. We saw that as we looked at Israel being delivered from Egypt. Moses records that the Lord went before them. And here the Lord is going before Joseph. The Lord is going before Mary. The Lord is going before the baby Jesus and guiding them. Isn't that a wonderful truth that God goes before us? That gives us great confidence, doesn't it? That we're not alone, that God goes ahead of us. God not only preserves us, God guides us. Now, Herod is furious when he realizes that he's been tricked by the wise men. And he gives out this murderous edict. Can you imagine it? He wants all of the wee boys from 2 years and under to be killed in Bethlehem. He wants to make sure that this little boy who is claiming to be the king of the Jews is killed. And so he sends his soldiers to go through all of the homes in the region of Bethlehem and to kill every little baby boy. We don't know how many were killed. It's been calculated. Bethlehem wasn't really a big place. It's been calculated. It could have been about 20 little boys killed. We know a lot about Herod the Great. He was a monster. He killed his own family in his lust for power and prestige. No one would stand in his way. He was a monster. This incident is sometimes called the Massacre of the Innocents, as indeed it was. It shows, incidentally, what our Lord said about our enemy, Satan, that he is a murderer from the beginning. Do you realize that? That our enemy, Satan, is a murderer from the beginning, and he hates babies. And sadly, he's still killing little babies, unborn babies all over the world, isn't he? A murderer from the beginning. But God is guiding his family. Now think of the fulfillment of the Old Testament scripture here in verses 17 and 18. Matthew says, this is intriguing, I think, this was fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. How much do you know of Jeremiah? You like a quiz on the book of Jeremiah? How would you do? This was fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. Now, Matthew 2, verse 18 is a quotation from Jeremiah 31. Can you turn there in your Bible if you can find it? One of the major prophets, Jeremiah, and Jeremiah 31 is known to us who are followers of Jesus because it contains the details of the new covenant which is going to be fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, Jeremiah 31. But look at verse 15. Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord. Now, what's the context, the original context of Jeremiah 31? The context of Jeremiah 31 is that the commander of Nebuchadnezzar's army, Babylon, at this time is the superpower, and they are conquering Israel under their great king, Nebuchadnezzar. And what do? They round up their captives, and many of them are rounded up at Ramah, which is just north of Jerusalem, before taking them in chains to Babylon. You remember Daniel, Ezekiel, and others end up in Babylon? How did they get there? The Babylonians come, they conquer Israel, they destroy the temple, they break down the walls of Jerusalem, and they take many people captives. Turn over to chapter 40, Jeremiah 40. Verse 1, for a little more detail on this. Jeremiah 40, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah. When he took him bound in chains, along with all of the captives of Jerusalem and Judah who were being exiled to Babylon. So here are the captives. They're rounded up at Ramah, this place, just north of Jerusalem. We know quite a lot about Ramah. Hannah, very intriguingly, was from Ramah. Samuel, her son, that was his hometown. Hannah was a woman who knew about tears. We read about her tears in 1 Samuel 1, as she doesn't have any children and she's weeping. We also know that Rachel was buried very close to Ramah. Rachel, who was Rachel? She's the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. And you remember also for many years, Rachel didn't have any children. It says the Lord closed her womb. And she cried out to the Lord for children. And eventually, Jacob's youngest two boys are born with Rachel as their mother, Joseph and Benjamin. But Rachel, in fact, dies at the birth of Benjamin. So Rachel is a woman who knows about tears. And I think in Jeremiah chapter 31, she becomes a type of a mother in Israel. And so Matthew is quoting from Jeremiah 31, referring to Rachel, who's buried near Ramah, a woman who knew tears. Hannah also knew tears. And that they are weeping over what happened to the people of God as they're taken into captivity by Babylon. Can you imagine if you're a mother and your son is taken captive by Babylon? You're left in Israel and he is marched off many, many miles to Babylon. Perhaps your husband, other members of your family. And here are these women that Matthew's referring to here in Matthew 2 verse 18. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. So Matthew, in this intriguing way, applies the weeping by mothers at the Babylonian captivity to the weeping and mourning of the mothers of the little boys in Bethlehem who are killed by Herod. Interesting way to use scripture, isn't it? But although there is mourning, as there was in Jeremiah chapter 31, in Jeremiah 31, I read a little bit ahead and went a couple of verses further than Matthew does, where the Lord says that Israel has a hope. Israel has a future. Yes, there is a future of the new covenant. And although there is mourning in Bethlehem, there is a hope for Israel. There's a hope for the world. The Messiah has been preserved under the guiding hand of God.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the beginning of an exciting message titled The Flight. And don't go anywhere just yet, because John will be back in just a moment with his final thoughts. Well, the new year is almost here. And as we prepare for 2022, it's important that we stay grounded on the firm foundation of God's Word and remember His promises. To encourage you and to help you find that lasting peace and personal assurance that comes from trusting in Jesus, John has written a booklet titled Eternal Security: Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. By sharing details of his personal testimony and providing a thorough examination of Scripture, John will help you better understand salvation by grace and address some of the very real and personal questions you may have about your faith. And you can request this free booklet today by visiting calvarychurch.com/theverdict. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for our monthly email list to stay in the loop on the latest ministry news. As we close, consider making your own impact in the lives of others by helping us share these biblical messages. Our ministry relies on the generous donations of listeners like you who share our passion for the gospel. You can send your New Year donation of any amount by going to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. You can also find The Verdict on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just log into your account and search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, with his closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Isn't it wonderful to see that King Jesus is being preserved by his Heavenly Father? Satan is totally opposed to God, but God is greater. He's always in control. What are your fears as you contemplate a new year? There are many questions, many uncertainties, but don't panic. Put your trust in God. God will preserve you. God will watch over you. Don't trust in your own understanding. Trust God with all of your heart, and He will direct your steps. Tomorrow we'll continue looking at this fascinating story.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.